love when the stillness of God just settles in a place like a slow rain. I've seen it rain and just run right off. But a good, slow, steady, soaking rain. It'll get down into places that a heavy rain can't. It'll bring water to places that have dried up. Couldn't help but think about the prophet of God. He sat by the brook at Cherith, and the brook dried up, and the Lord told him to move on. I'm glad that there are streams of salvation whereof the Bible said it makes the heart glad. We've got a stream that won't dry up. And thank God it goes into everlasting life and eternity. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn with us, and there are two places I want to read from. God being our helper this morning, we just want to leave with you what God has laid up on our heart. And certainly we pray that this will be a help to the church this morning. In the fourth chapter of 2 Timothy, I want to read a few verses there. And then we want to turn to the book of Hebrews, the second chapter, and that'll be our main text. But these two do have something to do one with the other. The Apostle Paul, now, if we understand 2 Timothy correctly, he's coming to the time in his life, really the end of his life, and he's fixing to give his life for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ, fixing to be beheaded, and he leaves and pens a letter to his son in the Lord, that of Timothy. And here's what he says in chapter 4 and verse 6. He says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." He said, "I fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." Then over in the book of Hebrews and the second chapter, I want to deal with a title that the writer uses to call our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the 10th verse, but I want to read verse 9. "But we see Jesus." I want you to think in the scripture about some of the men that saw Jesus, the captain we're going to find out of their salvation. "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things." In other words, all things are made by him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. "And by him whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, God, as we come to you, the most precious name ever uttered by lips, that being the name of Jesus. Father, as we come to you, we're so thankful that, God, we're not left desolate or hopeless this morning. But, God, we believe that if Jesus arose from the dead, he likewise shall appear in the clouds of glory. And God, in that day when the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ rise first, and then we who remain will be caught up in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But God, until that day, Lord, there's some suffering we're doing. And until that day, God, so many of my dear sisters that, God, have cancer, my brothers that have cancer or other sicknesses or some, Lord, even dealing with the death of a loved one. God, so many are suffering through so much. But God, I am persuaded that when we see Jesus face to face, none of the suffering will be counted worthy in comparison to the glory which shall be revealed in us. God, I thank you that, Lord, even though we're in manifold temptations and tribulations for a season, it's just for a season. And God, there's a time and a season to everything under heaven. And just as sure as we weep and we mourn, there's coming a day when we will rejoice. But God, until then, grant us your grace, your mercy, and the power of your Holy Spirit, that we might walk in newness of life, and God, that we might overcome the tribulation that we find ourselves in. God, we'll give you all the praise, honor, credit, and glory. Comfort, Lord, those that are broken this morning. We pray in Christ's name. Amen and amen. In this ninth verse of the book of Hebrews, he says, but we see Jesus. In other words, the apostle, if you believe Paul wrote Hebrews, he talks about all the things that are going on in the world. And you know, he talks about even the tribulation that Jesus went through and the trials that he went through and the suffering that he went through. He says, listen, all of us are subject under that type of suffering, and we're subject under that type of sorrow. And all of a sudden, in a moment's notice, he says, but wait a minute, we see Jesus. In other words, lift up your eyes out of the grief that you're in. Lift up your eyes out of the sorrow that compasses your heart. Let's take another look at the Son of God and see if he can't help us in the hour of our need. He says, but we see Jesus made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Let me tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. The plan of salvation was not plan B. It was not plan C. It was plan A. From the very beginning, God knew, before the very foundations of the earth were formed, he knew that mankind would need a Savior, and it was ordained that Christ would go in behind for us. Whenever they were cast out of the garden, I remember the prophecy unto Satan, you may bruise his heel, old serpent, but one day he's going to crush your head. And thank God we serve a Savior that is all powerful. He is risen, seated at the right hand of God. And there's not a want or a need that we'll have that he cannot meet. He says, for it became him who are all things. In other words, he made all things. We'll get into that in just a minute. And by whom are all things? It says that in bringing many sons unto the glory, or into unto glory, to make him the captain of their salvation. God helping me this morning, I want to talk to you. I want to ask you, do you have a captain this morning? Do you have somebody that can lead and guide and direct your life? Do you have a captain this morning? Someone that you can trust in. Someone that can get you where you're going. Why, my God, in heaven this morning, do you realize the sole purpose of the captain of a ship was to be in control of that vessel and get that vessel from point A to point B and make sure it arrived there in a safe fashion? That captain, my friend, it was his responsibility for every soul that was on that ship. I've got good news about our captain. They've been many who sailed over death's chilly waters, and out of all who have died, he's never lost a one. Glory to our captain. Let me tell you, they've been a lot that have trusted Muhammad as their captain, only to find when death come, their ship sank down into the abyss. There have been many that have followed Buddha in this day and age, and when the time come to die, their ship sank into the abyss. There have been many that have trusted religion and other men, and when the time came to die, their ship sank into the abyss. But thank God there's a few of us that are trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got a captain who knows something about passing over death's chilly waters. Thank God this morning for our captain. Listen, we not only have a captain who knows the sea. We've got a captain who made the sea. He made all, that's what the writer said, everything and all the things therein, he made them. I'm not serving a captain who knows the sea. I'm serving a captain who made the sea. Oh, I know we're going to get there. We're going to get to the storm on the Sea of God. Well, we'll just go there now. I've got a captain who's able to sail right through the midst of the storm and never awaken from his slumber. You remember the 8th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. They awoken him out of slumber. He was in the hinder part of the ship asleep and said, Master, carest not that we perish. And listen, he said, oh, ye of little faith, wherefore did you doubt? Don't doubt our captain. He knows what he's doing. It's so hard to be in the midst of the storm. It's so hard to have your heart hurting. It's so hard to have your heart broken and still trust the captain. But I've got to believe that he captained me and he piloted me through the last storm. He's not going to leave me to die in the middle of this storm. Thank God my captain knows how to get this ship where she's headed. Where she headed, preacher? One day after a while, we're going home to glory, and so shall we ever be with him. I am not very good with boats or ships. Lord, I don't know what I stepped on. I've crushed something here. We bought a boat. If y'all have heard this story, please bear with my being repetitive. But we bought a boat. I was so happy. Man, we finally got a boat. We're going to go skiing. We're going to fish. We're going to do all this. And I didn't realize how a boat really worked. I didn't realize that word that trim means that you got to lower your prop down into the water. And you get, in order for it to ride smooth, you got to drop it all the way down where it's sitting, you know, at a 90-degree angle from the boat. Well, I've got the prop up, and it's barely in the water. And I take off out through there, and the boat's just standing up like that right there, and there's water coming in the back of the boat, and I'm thinking, my goodness, I bought a limb in this pitiful thing, and something's wrong with my boat. And then I thought, well, there's a button over there. I might as well mash it and see what it does. And I mashed it, and I heard the sound of a little electric motor going, and it eased that trim down into the water and the prop down into the water, and all of a sudden the boat began to ride level. So I didn't know a whole lot about boats. I don't know a whole lot about how, you know, they work. I know this now. I know more about them now than I did then. But let me tell you something. We're serving a master. He is a pilot of the ship. He is a captain of our salvation. He's a pilot and the captain of the old ship of Zion. And he knows how to make her run true. He knows how to get her through the storm. He knows how to get her from this life unto the next. Thank God we're trusting in a captain who knows what he's doing. Y'all believe that this morning? Sometimes the captain takes that ship right through the middle of the worst storm of your life. Have you ever been there? If you ain't, hang on a little while. Sometimes the captain says, you know what? I'm going to show them my grace and the sufficiency of my grace. We're not going around the storm this time. We're going to go right through the middle of it. Let me tell you what I found out. When you go right through the middle of the storm, you learn how to stop depending on your own ability. You get to the place in life where you realize, if I'm going to make it, it's going to be the captain that gets me where I'm going. Maybe somebody here this morning, you've tried it your way in the storm and have found nothing but sorrow and trouble. I'm imploring you and begging you, trust the captain to get you through the storm. They woke him up. Carest not that we perish. He said, oh, ye of little faith, stood to the stern of the ship and cried out these simple words, peace be still. My captain don't just know how to sail through the middle of the storm. My captain don't just know how to go around the storm. My captain can speak to the storm and cause it to become a great sudden peace. What about a captain like that? I almost jumped down off that. Boy, I'm glad I didn't. If I ain't in the spirit, I broke my leg. Been several times in my life, I've not understood why my ship went where it went. Been a lot of times in my life, I've not understood some of the things I've had to go through. Been a lot of times in my life, I can't understand where God is moving me to. But I'll tell you this, I know when it's God's hand that's doing the moving. I'm glad there's one that's got a hold of the wheel of the ship, and he's going to put me right where he wants me. Do you believe that this morning? Listen to me, young people. Listen, I know it's a good thing to think about where you're going to be educated and think about your life and what you're going to do 20 years from now. I'm going to tell you, listen, think about it, pray about it, but trust the captain, because he might take you somewhere you never thought you would go. I never thought I'd ever end up at Silver City Church, but the captain said, son, that's where you need to stop for a while, and I'm glad the captain brought me where he brought me. Oh, y'all don't amen that. I don't blame you. I don't like me either. We have to trust in the captain. Pastor's not the captain. Somebody say amen. Oh, no, 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 like you mean it. A pastor ain't the captain. I love your deacons. I love you with all my heart. But the deacons ain't the captain. Amen. Listen. Hey, even the body of the church is not the captain. Amen. Let me tell you, there ain't but one. Listen, Joshua, before they went into Jericho, he took him a little walk and saw a mighty man of valor. Joshua saw the captain. He went up to the captain and said, Captain, are you for us or for our adversaries? And the captain said, Joshua, nay. He didn't say yes. He didn't say any. He said, nay. You've asked the wrong question. The question's not whether the captain's on our side. The question's whether or not, we're on the captain's side. And Joshua, he proclaimed at his death, as for me and my house, we're on the captain's side. We will serve the Lord. Are you on the captain's side? You say, I've been doing all right, Russell. I don't need anybody. I don't need the captain right now. You may not need him now or think you don't. But there's some waters that you've never sailed that he has. Has anybody in here ever crossed over Death's Chilly Waters? Now, I know there's some of you close, and I know there's some of you that left for just a little while. Some of you have tasted. Some of you have seen a lot more than what we have. Does the captain, is this thing real? Been men that have seen the captain. I want you to hear me, family. I love you with all my heart. Here's what death is. Death is getting down to the edge of the water. I had an old deacon. Well, he wasn't an old deacon. His old church member tell me this, boo-boo. Another good old saying. He said, Russell, I don't dread crossing Death's Chilly Water. I don't, y'all, I mean, I'm saved. But I tell you what I dread. I dread getting in them. I dread getting to the edge of them. Yeah, Brother Mickle Gerard said that many a time. Here's some wonderful news. Believe this with all my heart. When we get to the edge of Jordan's Chilly Waters, the captain who's already been across them, there's an old song that says, and he'll hold my hand as over this river I go. Then say, I'll be in beautiful heaven, I know. My bark shall sail safely, though waves dash high, for Jesus will be at my side. He'll steal the rough waters when by and by I'm crossing the river so wide. And he'll hold my hand as over this river I go, and in safe I'll be in beautiful heaven, I know. One day, the time will come for me to die if the Lord tarries, it's coming. But I'm acquainted with a captain who's going to meet me at the edge of the water. Let me tell you, Stephen was dying. They were beating his life out with rocks. And he cried out, I see the captain. He said, I see Jesus. Heard a man preach on that. Standing at the right hand of the Father. Listen, I couldn't help but think about Lazarus when he had died 4 days dead, and by now his body stinketh, the Bible said. And all of a sudden there's a cry, Lazarus, and it leaves the earth and goes and ascends into a heaven that our eyes cannot see. The Bible calls it the third heaven. And nobody had to say to Lazarus, the master's calling for you. Lazarus, I believe, looked at him and said, boys, it's a captain, and he's calling me back. I've got one day after a while, the captain's going to call my name, and I'm going to leave this earth and be with him forever. He is the captain of our salvation. It was necessary, but we see Jesus made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. What was his main purpose? Listen, I know he came to give us life and life more abundantly, but if you look up that word life, it is life eternal. Listen, one day this temporal is going to pass. One day we're going to come to the end of our physical lives. One day death is going to knock on our door. It's sure, it's appointed unto man. Wants to die and enter this judgment. But here's the beautiful part about being a child of God. When death comes, I'm acquainted with one who's already defeated it. Are you? Who's going to captain you across death's chilly waters? Oh, Miss Keena, you know she's a hospice nurse. She's talked about, never mention any names. They'd get her in trouble, wouldn't it? She's told me about people in generalities that have died. And she said, Russell, when a saint of God dies, somebody who's been saved, she said all of a sudden there's like a grace personified. The presence of God is in that place. Breathing their last breath. And they're comforted because Jesus is there. You say, physically, no. I don't mean physically. I mean he's there, though. Y'all believe that? He's there. Listen, we don't have to die a death of misery and die a death alone and die a death of fear. She said, Russell, you wouldn't believe some of these people who have made nature their God, who have made the sun and the stars and the beauty of the earth their God. And when it comes time to die, they sink into the abyss, and the last look in their eye and cry from their voice is a cry of fear. But I've had the honor and privilege a few times in my life be in the room of somebody that was saved and watched them die. Anybody been there? I've watched families gather around the bedside of men and women and begin to sing an old gospel song. And it'd be the sweetest piece, as sweet as anything I've ever felt in the church. And you could literally feel, if you want to say it this way, the angels of heaven come and take them across the Jordan River. Or if you want to say it like this, the Lord came and took them by the hand. Neither way bothers me whatsoever. Listen, I want to tell you, whenever death comes, we have a captain that will come for us, and death will not destroy us. The beautiful part about serving a church and loving God's people is this. Death has the power to separate us for a season. Some of you have lost mamas and daddies, and some of you have lost loved ones, and you're separated for a season. But I'm going to tell you this, that season will come to an end. There is a time of reunion and a time to be reunited with those that we love in Christ. Stand to your feet this morning. You might not have that comfort. I want to ask you the most important question any man will ever ask you. Where are you going to go when you die? Where are you going to go? What's going to happen to you when death comes? There are those Gnostics and those that are faithless that say, how can a man know? If you've been born again, your question will be, how can a man not know? I'm going to tell you this, listen, I've heard people say, well, there'll be people when they get to heaven, they'll be surprised. You know, I'm not going to comment on that. That's between them and the Lord. I'm going to tell you this. I know I'm saved. You say, you mean you can, for sure, for sure, absolutely. If I didn't know I was saved, I'd be working really hard on getting saved. But I'm going to tell you what, death is going to come to me one day after a while. But I mean this, listen, with every intention in my heart, I mean this with every fiber of my being, I am not scared to die. I'm not. Now, I dread getting to the edge of the water, and I dread getting to whatever it takes to take me out of this life, but I know what happened to me as a young boy. You know how I know? It's still going on. It's still happening. He's still moving. I still feel Him. And I'm sure that when death comes, I've made my preparation. If you have not, listen, if death came to you right now, where would you end up? Had a little girl, and I'm closing. She came to the altar. She's probably 7 years old. And let me tell you, if you're sick, you can get saved at seven. Amen. I've seen that a lot. But she come at 7 years old, wasn't under any conviction whatsoever. She said, Russell, I really, really, really want to be saved. I said, well, honey, you got to tell me one thing. Are you lost? She said, I don't know if I'm lost. I said, well, if you died right now, where would you go? She looked at me just as clear as day and said, I'd go to heaven. I said, all right. That kind of answers that you ain't lost. Let me tell you, when you get lost, you realize that the next breath could take you into an eternity separated from God Almighty and from His love. It don't get more serious than that. Death for a lost soul would have to be the most fearful thing we could ever imagine. Weeping and gnashing of teeth, the Bible calls it. But on an occasion or two, I've seen the death of a saint. And that's the way I want to die. With a smile on my face, headed home with a hope in my soul. If you don't have that this morning, you can. If you need to pray, you come pray. What you got, Steve?